This show is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Another hour of the most listened to radio program on the Northern Plains. What's on your mind from the studios of the legendary voice of the Northern Plains, 550K Fire, Bismarck Mandan. AM 1100, the flag, Fargo-Moorhead, the patriotic blowtorch of the Red River Valley at 50,000 watts. KTGO booming to the Bakken on 1090 on your dial, as well as 1460 KLTC in Dickinson. Thanks for being there. Glad to have you on the program today. And you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. On our Cloverdale Big Flavor Hotline, that number is always, remember, jot this down, 855-200-1776. 855-200-1776. If we're not on the air, press 1, leave a message 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. If we are on the air, all the better. We'd love to talk to you. Press 2, and you can chat with us. We're brought to you today in part by our friends at High Plains Apache. Find out more about them at highplainsapache.com. In studio with us today, North Dakota State Tax Commissioner Ryan Rauschenberger is here. Ryan, nice to see you.
Good to see you, too.
And Ron Ness, President of the North Dakota Petroleum Council, here as well. Ron, again, welcome back. Glad to have you. These two will happily field any questions or comments that you have today. I want to run through some of the things that they talked about today at the Eggs and Issues event for the West Fargo-Fargo-Moorhead Chamber of Commerce, and some interesting new numbers that are out there. But, Ron, let me just start with you on we touched on this in the last segment. We had a short segment, but 2016 versus 2015. What do you see as what 2016 will bring that will be different than 2015?
Well, 2015, I think, was a bit of a shock and awe reality hit for all of us in the commodity business in North Dakota. We've been riding the high wave, and I think the lesson that learned is that commodities come up and they go down, and you better figure out how to manage your business and get your cost thresholds down, become more efficient, increase your technology, and we've got to learn ways to lower the effective cost of doing business in the Bakken and make that Bakken economic at $60 a barrel, because the reality going forward is there's a lot of places in the world utilizing the technology that we've developed right here in the Bakken in North Dakota. And there's going to be more oil produced, and demand across the world is continues to be flat. And Iran will be putting 1 million barrels on the market pretty soon. Iraq has increased their production from 2 million barrels a day to 4 million barrels a day, have potential to go to 8 million barrels a day. The export ban is removed. We can now compete in the world. And from a North Dakota standpoint, I think that we've got to stay bullish on the long term in the Bakken. The service providers and companies are going to have a home field advantage going forward as we see things ramp up on the exploration side again. They now know what it takes to get to Williston and Watford and Stanley and Tioga to do business there and engage their workforce. We've got to be steadfast on our technology side to get more of the oil out of these wells in order to compete worldwide. So 2016 is going to be a year in which we continue to get better at those things. We're going to see some companies merge, some companies go away. All those things are going to happen, and the longer this price situation sticks around, the harder it's going to be and the longer it's going to take to rebound. But the reality is we are going to rebound, and we're going to be better and stronger, bigger and faster when it happens.
Is it fair to say the gain from the pain of the last year will be in those efficiencies going forward?
I think you're right, and I think North Dakota has a history of that through the Depression, through the 80s, through all of those things. Our farming techniques have always had to improve. You've got to get better at what you do, and the companies that are the strong finance companies, the ones that have a financial strength are going to survive. They're going to see this as an opportunity to maybe gobble up their competitors, and it still takes a lot of workers, though, and we have to continue to focus on developing a workforce for tomorrow in the energy industry and all of the other growing industries in North Dakota. We have a growing population, and we We're headed over to NDSU to get a tour of the new STEM center over there. Science, technology, engineering, and math are going to be continually important, along with, of course, the skill careers and the technical careers. And so we're going to be pressing the legislature to continue to invest in the infrastructure, be bullish on the builders in Western North Dakota, and let's get ahead once.
Ryan, let's talk a little bit about what you put in front of the gathering today. Folks that wanted to soak up some more information, what'd you share?
Well, I for the most part, I talked about the extraction tax, which has been a lot of focus within the state because we were the 2015 legislature got rid of the big trigger that we've talked about before. That was essentially what when oil prices would be lower, the extraction tax would essentially go away, and that had been in place for a number of decades. The legislature got rid of the big trigger, which essentially locked in the extraction tax rate at a 5% flat rate, and talked about how important that extraction tax is. It goes to help fund education, helps to fund water projects. It also goes to the legacy fund for long-term investments into the future, to be able to have that, to have interest, like a trust fund, kind of like Alaska has. But that's all important because that benefits the entire state. I think that's one of the things that we talked about today was not just the 17 oil producing counties, but oil has an impact for the entire state. It floats all boats across the state. And I think part of that message was also recognizing the legislature recognized that hub cities in North Dakota for Bakken oil development aren't just Minot, Dickinson, and Williston, and those are the traditional oil producing hub cities. But the legislature also added Mandan, Bismarck, Jamestown, West Fargo, Fargo, and Grand Forks as non-oil-producing hub cities because when you look at the oil-related employment, it's larger than most people think. And actually, West Fargo is going to receive $750,000 a year based on their current employment associated with Bakken Oil, and Fargo is going to receive $500,000 a year based on their percentage of oil Bakken-related employment. And like Ron said earlier, this morning he did a survey of the crowd, and I'd say at least two-thirds of the entire crowd at our talk this morning had some business relations with the Bakken. And that just goes to show that it has an impact on the entire state.
What is the criteria on the hub city distinction you mentioned for these communities outside of the Bakken?
To be a hub city, you have to actually have 12,500 people, a population. So it has to be a substantial city, but also have, and then from that, you have to have at least a percent or more. And for each percentage point, you receive a direct injection every year from the state, from the gross production tax.
And how do they determine if somebody is, in an industry that is somehow tied to the Bakken?
Well, that's what's interesting. They actually changed the definition this last session to broaden it a bit. Before, you just had to have that one sector production and production company. And what the Job Service North Dakota does now is they kind of have a metric where they look at, a certain portion of transportation is so associated with the Bakken and certain portion of wholesalers and even manufacturing. You look at Grand Forks, they have, tank and oil well equipment manufacturing going on up there. That now counts because that's directly located or directly associated with Bakken development. So Job Service North Dakota now has a bit of a broader definition. And when you look at it more broadly, you see, like we saw this morning, that even in the valley, there's a lot of employment associated with the Bakken oil development in the western part of the state.
The other thing I want to ask you about is, the argument against changing the extraction tax and reforming that was we need more money, right? I mean, largely an argument from Democrats in the state saying, don't do this. This is a break for the oil companies. The change that was ultimately voted in put more money in the coffers of North Dakota, didn't it?
Yeah, and actually, when you look at it right now, just using the last month as our most current real numbers to use, if you would actually look at the new 10% top rate and compare that to what would have been maybe about a 6% total rate if the triggers would have hit, so the extraction tax would have went away for most new production in the state. When you compare the new flattened basically 10% rate to what would have been a 6% rate, it's about $30 million more a month that's going to be coming into the state coffers. That's for education. That's for water projects across the state. That's for the legacy fund and also property tax relief. That's $30 million a month in the current price environment. That's important because even though we're only at, upper 20s, lower 30s for North Dakota crude, that's $30 million a month, and that is significant savings for the state.
Short break. When I come back, I want to talk some more on the tax side, just a little bit about Obviously, 2015, the rig counts are down. What kind of impact that's had on the sales tax side across the state? And we'll also talk to Ron about the current rig count and when we, you know, what that number is going to have to be to start seeing the rig count inch back upwards. We'll do that on the other side of the break here with our guest, Ron Ness. And Ryan Rauschberger today on What's On Your Mind questions. Welcome for him at 800-228-0550 or email studio at whatsonyourmindradio.com. You can text Todd, too, at 701-226-8503. Brought to you in part today by High Plains Apache. The 2016s are in right now, and they'd love for you to come in and see the latest from Apache sprayers right there at the location in Mandan, also in Frontier, south of Fargo. They have 2015s that they have some great discounts on right now. Some used ones you can find online at highplainsapache.com, highplainsapache.com, and some low-interest financing that is available right now as well. So give them a call in Mandan, 701-663-2375. I'd love to chat with you. Or stop and see him. Mandan across from Bonanza or Exit 60 south of Fargo in Frontier. Exit 60 off I-29, that is. And don't forget they have that wonderful ET Egg Center now with all the egg application parts you need as well on site at High Plains Apache.
Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Find the easy links at whatsonyourmindradio.com. Welcome to Soybean Minute. Now, here's Diana Biedelsbacher.
Soybean farmers, plan now to attend the annual Northern Soybean Expo, Tuesday, February 2nd at the Fargo Holiday Inn. New to the expo this year will be a live taping of the U.S. Farm Report with John Phipps, featuring noted grain marketing and risk management panel members Tony Grisafi, Dwayne Boss, and Mike North. Named by USA Today as one of the five most requested speakers in the United States, Dr. Barry Asmus, a senior economist with the National Center for Policy Analysis, will take the platform to provide a global economic outlook, and NDSU distinguished professor Dr. Bill Wilson will wrap up the day with a discussion about the risks and opportunities for our commodity in Southeast Asia. Be sure to join us on February 2nd for the Northern Soybean Expo at the Fargo Holiday Inn for a day of education, networking, and fellowship. For more information, log on to ndsoybean.org.
This message is brought to you by the North Dakota Soybean Council and the Soybean Checkoff.
Central Steel Building and Construction is your premier source for GSI grain bins, GSI grain dryers, and GSI grain handling equipment. Central Steel also offers livestock water, welding supplies, and a variety of gears, pulleys, plus bulk bolts and nuts. Call Central Steel today for your GSI grain storage, material handling, and grain drying needs. 701-652-2886. Central Steel Building and Construction in Carrington. Online at grainstuff.com.
Hi, this is Troy from CNC Farms of Donnybrook. We're your registered and certified seed dealer. At CNC Farms, we pride ourselves in providing top quality and wide variety of seed. We offer forage barley, oats, millet, 4010 forage peas, forage mixes, malt barley, flax, durum, chickpeas, green and yellow peas, spring wheat, winter wheat, alfalfa, pasture mixes, beans, and much more. Online at ccseedfarm.com, your registered and certified seed dealer of Donnybrook. Call CNC Farms, 701-482-7865.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24-7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
The hour rolling on with What's On Your Mind. Calls, questions, comments, welcome at 800-228-0550, 701-258-0550, studios at whatsonyourmindradio.com, whatsonyourmindradio.com. Let's see here. I'm going to start with a question for Ron, and then I'm going to ask my question on the sales tax for Ryan. Ron Ness with the North Dakota Petroleum Council, Ryan Rauschenberger here from the North Dakota Tax Commissioner. Questions or comments, welcome for him at 800-228-0550. Jim sends a note here, Jim and Peggy. And Jim and Peggy say, so we sell, export our oil, who then take the oil to their refiners. My question to you is, when we buy back the refined oil, which would mean we are buying our own oil back instead of just building more refineries, is that an accurate description of what happens?
Essentially, what we're talking about is that much of the U.S. refining mix across the country over the last two decades has converted to heavy Canadian or Venezuelan or Mexican crude, supply of which we don't have here in the U.S. And now along comes this Bakken and Eagle Ford, this high-quality sweet crude oil, which we do not have enough refiners in the U.S. that need this type of oil. So what we're going to begin potentially doing is exporting our oil to Europe or to Asia to those high-quality sweet refiners who are currently getting their oil from OPEC, Africa, or Russia. We will still need to import for our heavy sour crude oil refiners, Mexican or Venezuelan or Canadian crude oil. But our sweet Bakken crude oil has a potential to grow now because it has a potential for a market and it doesn't get discounted. And that will balance out the world oil situation. And from a consumer standpoint, that should be good because you've got a bigger supply opportunity across the world and you're not just relying on what OPEC does every day.
Plus, we can't just wave a magic wand and build refineries, right?
No, that's
no easy feat.
You know, they converted those refineries to that heavy crude oil because our supplies in the U.S. of sweet Bakken-type crude oil were drying up in the late 90s and early 2000s, and OPEC had tried to run the American oil industry out of business, much like they're doing today. So they converted to these new finds like the oil sands in Canada and other places. So you're not going to just convert those back. They spent hundreds of millions of dollars to do that. And so you got to find new markets and ensure that we get a fair price for our Bakken barrel is really the big issue. And right now we get a discounted price because you can buy that barrel from Africa on the east coast of the U.S. So it's going to be a good long-term solution for the U.S.
Jim and Peggy, thanks for the question. Others welcome. Studio at whatsonyourmindradio.com. You can text Todd. He's waiting for your questions. There's a couple here on ISIS. I'm not going to put that in front of Ron or Ryan here, and also Oregon, which we're going to get some answers on tomorrow. But if you have questions specific to either our tax policy in the great state of North Dakota or the oil and gas industry, get them in for Ron Ness and Ryan Rauschenberger today. 701-226-8503, that's the number to text a question, 701-226-8503. Or you can call the Cloverdale Big Flavor Hotline at 800-228-0550. So my question was, obviously, considerably less activity in 2015, what kind of an impact is that showing? What do you see on sales tax receipts?
Well, you know, we are starting to see an impact on sales tax. I think that's clear. Pam Sharp, the director of Office of Management and Budget, has been giving, you know, updated revenue reports compared to what we had forecasted. We are mainly in the sales tax area, coming in short of what we had originally forecasted. And I think for a number of reasons. One is the oil. You know, the oil sector is very capital and material intensive. And there are a couple factors that play into us coming in below forecast right now. And one would be just fewer materials going into the ground. We have fewer rigs operating, really about a third of what we had a year ago. But also the price of inputs have started to come down. So you have that Bakken premium on all these inputs that go in into drilling and completing a well. When those prices come down, that impacts the sales tax base as well. So you kind of have a double dip there when you have a very capital and material intensive industry when you have all of the proppant and fracking, the millions of pounds per well of ceramic proppant whether it be the well casing, the drill bits, the gravel that goes into all the well pads, that's all subject to sales tax. And that's actually about $250,000 of sales tax per well. That's a pretty conservative number, an average number. And about two-thirds of the sales tax collected per completed well is from the fracking side of it. So now you look at the 1,100 wells that have just been drilled but not completed. So the fracking has not been done. That inventory keeps going up. If you actually just take that amount of sales tax that could be collected on the 1,100 wells that aren't completed or fracked, if they were today completed, that's $170 million of sales tax. And just like those are essentially savings accounts for the oil companies, as far as, you know, keeping oil in the ground until prices come back, it's also somewhat of a savings account for the state, because those wells will be completed at some point in the future. And eventually that means more gross production and extraction tax on the oil produced. But don't forget that sales tax. That's a lot of sales tax that comes from completing those wells, because virtually all of the tangible materials are subject to sales tax. So, again, that has created some volatility in the sales tax base, but it's also there's kind of a savings account there for the future of the general fund, because you know that inventory of unfracked wells are out there. And that's true for both, again, the oil companies and the state.
What kind of an impact does oil, let's just say energy development, have on North Dakota's bottom line? So I know we've looked at what portion of the economy is ag versus energy, and that's getting closer and closer together. But from your standpoint, if the oil industry goes away, what kind of an impact does that have to the bottom line of what comes into the coffers of North Dakota?
Well, Scott, it is a huge portion of our economy. I mean, across the entire state, we have, when you look at our taxable sales and purchases, when you break it down sector by sector, the one that has grown the most of any is really the oil production sector. It is by far one of our largest individual sectors right now. It's a huge part of the economy, but it has that multiplier effect. It's tough to pinpoint exactly how much, but when you have all those dollars coming in through the retail sector and through construction and all the different sectors that we look at and track, it has an impact throughout the entire state and across many different industries. So it is a huge player. And that's not to be taken lightly. And that's why we've seen some of the decreases in sales tax and why we have been coming in under forecast.
Chris in Bismarck, question for our guest. You're up on What's on Your Mind.
Yeah, hi. How are you guys this morning?
Well, sir, thank you for calling.
My question is, my wife is a distributor salesperson for an online company. And she pays sales tax when she purchases the item from the company. Does she still have to pay sales tax again when she sells the items here in North Dakota?
So the question is essentially, would there be essentially a double taxation? The way to think about sales and use tax in North Dakota is an item is never subject to sales tax more than once. So if she is liable and obligated to pay essentially either a use or sales tax, essentially the same thing, once, that should not be subject to tax again. So
okay,
depending on the situation, and I don't know all the particulars, but sales tax is never levied twice on an individual product. So
hang
it
on,
should be only subject once.
Chris, I think I had a follow-up. We'll get your question answered on the other side of the break here, and more, too, with Ron Ness of the North Dakota Petroleum Council, Ryan Rauschenberger, State Tax Commissioner, on What's on Your Mind. After a short timeout, don't go away.
We want to know what's on your mind. So call and tell us at 800-228-0550 or 701-258-0550.
The Northern Soybean Expo will be held on February 2nd at the Fargo Holiday Inn. A live taping of the U.S. Farm Report will feature a panel of the nation's leading and in-demand market analysts. Speakers include Dr. Barry Asmus, Senior Economist with the National Center for Policy Analysis, and Dr. Bill Wilson, Professor in the Department of Agribusiness and Applied Economics at NDSU. This event is open to all soybean farmers. For more information, log on to the North Dakota Soybean website at ndsoybean.org.
PetroServe USA, when you want a gas up, grab a snack, get on your way.
Come on into a nearby PetroServe USA location and pick four for just four. That's right, get a single topping personal pan hot stuff pizza, a 20-ounce fountain pop, and any two cookies all day, every day. Four items, just $4 at PetroServe USA.
Helping America feel better. PetroServe USA.
Are your Google search results killing you? Unflattering content in blogs, news articles, online reviews, social media, or other sources can jeopardize your reputation, your business, and your livelihood. Let Reputation.com help. Our patented technology will make the truth about you more visible while pushing down unwanted negative content. Improve your Google search results. Call Reputation.com at 1-800-831-0771 for a free consultation. That's 800-831-0771.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London.
Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
For a secure energy future has a website, secureenergyfuture.org, secureenergyfuture.org. I'd love you to bookmark and use as a resource. And if you haven't done it yet, it's an easy way to tell the EPA you don't think much of the costly clean power plant and sign a petition that goes to every elected leader. It goes to legislators. It goes to members of Congress, governor, everybody, anybody that's elected. Finds out what you think of the EPA's clean power plan. It also informs you on the clean power plan as well. So it's something worth checking out. And you can do it at secureenergyfuture.org. Bottom line is lignite, very important to the North Dakota, definitely needs to be part of an all-of-the-above energy solution, to all of our future energy needs. If families and businesses in North Dakota and Minnesota are going to have the affordable and reliable energy we all deserve. Find out more at secureenergyfuture.org. Chris in Bismarck, I think you had a follow-up question for Commissioner Rauschenberger. Is that right?
Yep. Basically, so, like, my wife buys the items at discounted. So $100, an item that she would sell for $100, she would pay $80 on that. She pays the taxes on the $80. So then does she have to pay the taxes on that $20?
Well, I guess I don't know all the circumstances surrounding the scenario that your wife is dealing with, but I would say that if she's levying the tax on the $80, is she reselling? So she's a wholesaler, though. Is that, I think it's a little different if you're retailing compared to wholesaling to another company and not having all of the details. I would hate to comment and lead you down the wrong path, but you can sure call our office, get a hold of us, and we can help clarify that issue so you don't run into problems down the road.
Okay. Yeah, we'll probably do that then.
Absolutely. Please do.
328-2770. 328-2770, Chris, okay?
All right. Thank you.
You can call him right now and say, I just talked to the boss. He told me to answer this question. So he'll go right to it, right? Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. John and Williston, you're next for our guest on the Cloverdale Big Flavor Hotline today on What's on Your Mind. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, I was reading an article just the other day about the fact that refineries both in the U.S. and in Canada are no longer buying crude from the Bakken because of the cost via rail. So my question would be, how long is it going to take to get pipelines to the coasts so that we can move this Bakken oil to the refineries in Europe or around the world that can use it?
Mr. Ness, John's question?
John, that is a fantastic question, and I think you are right. The East Coast refiners have found that they can buy a African barrel cheaper right now than they can get a barrel from the Bakken. And essentially, the answer to your question is the state of Minnesota, the Public Utility Service in the state of Minnesota, when will they approve the Sandpiper Pipeline, which would carry 250,000 barrels of Bakken crude to Duluth?
Already permitted in North Dakota and ready to go.
You get that one done, and you then reach the Detroit markets. You reach the East Coast Canada markets. The Dakota Access Pipeline, 450,000 barrels of North Dakota crude oil. Traveling to Patoka, Illinois, you get there and you reach the Gulf Coast. You can reach into the East Coast and, of course, a lot of refineries along that Great Lakes area. Ask the state of Iowa, I think. North Dakota has not approved that pipeline yet, but I'm confident they will. South Dakota and Illinois have. Those are huge projects. The Sandpiper Pipeline should be in place. It also takes a huge number of rail cars off the rails every day, which opens up that space for other commodities. So that is going to be one of the big things. Of course, the Keystone Pipeline, we all know the fate of that. But this is something that we need support on, and those are the infrastructure projects that we have to get done now. So when we begin to complete those wells, we've got a market for that oil, and we get there with a lower transportation cost.
Now, it's my understanding that the Keystone is mostly done in the U.S. Is there any way that we could tap into that and get our oil down to Texas?
Well, the Keystone, the only portion of the Keystone that they built was the portion from Oklahoma down to the Gulf Coast, which did free up some mid-continent barrels. But the Keystone portion that would come through Montana and South Dakota is not going to be built, at least until there's a change in the White House. TransCanada, however, is looking at a project out of the Bakken that would take barrels up into Canada and across Canada into those Nova Scotia area refiners. Again, a market that's currently only served by rail. So those are key markets to get that high-quality Bakken crude to those refiners that otherwise get those barrels from OPEC or Africa. It's an opportunity for us.
Okay, great. John, thank you.
John, thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Alan, on the road, another question for our guests on What's on Your Mind on the Cloverdale Big Flavor Hotline. Go ahead, Alan.
Yes, sir. Morning, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my call. I spent 3 years at the oil field in a driving truck, delivering frac sand to these oil sites. Went through some good, went through some bad, went through all the situations. Luckily, I was able to get out of it before this last, shutdown situation. There's a comment that was made just a little bit ago. Scott made it. Said, well, fortunately we can't wave a wand and create a refinery. I guess I need to be educated because my opinion and attitude in all this is why can't we get a refinery, multiple refineries going, put this oil to use in the United States in ways that helps the consumer. He doesn't have to pay as much at the pump. He can put money back in the economy. Help, make our roads better, get jobs in that situation. I don't understand why this can't be helping us right here in the United States.
Well, I think the value-added Bakken proposal is really the growth opportunity and diversity for North Dakota and maybe natural gas into fertilizers, plastics. On the refinery side, the reality is that we've done it here. We're the only state since 1976 that has had a refinery built. Montana Dakota Utilities, North Dakota Company, built the diesel topping plant in Dickinson. There are numerous other projects on the drawing board. In fact, I've got a meeting back in Bismarck tomorrow with a company that's looking at a refinery in western North Dakota. There's talk of one in Devil's Lake. The bottom line is that they look at demand opportunities and growth opportunities and where are the opportunities to sell their products, and it's going to come down to their economic models. But we've proven that we can do it here, and nowhere else in the country are they talking about it like we are here. So I think it is happening. It's just a function of making sure that you have a market to sell your product into at the end of the day.
And isn't the EPA regulations, the refineries you're referring to are diesel refineries, and they're smaller, so you fall below a lot of the thresholds that the federal regulations kick in and slow down. But aren't the refineries as we know them, like what Tesoro has in Mandan and the others around the country, you're talking decades to get one built, aren't you?
Scott, we can't even get a pipeline built across this country today, so you can about imagine the complexity that would go along with that. And the reason that they built that diesel refinery is because the diesel demand was so incredibly growing in across North Dakota. And, of course, that has dipped a bit now. But that's going to be our driver is the demand for that diesel here, which will drive that investment.
Alan, anything else?
Would I be correct in saying that we as a consumer, that we're in a stranglehold because of politics? I mean, that's the way I'm understanding it. Because, well, like you said, you know, the EPA and all the regulations and whatnot are constraining. I mean, I know we've got the technology and we've got the intelligence to do this. It's just, I guess, from what I'm hearing from you, then it's politics that is really stifling this whole situation.
Well, I think it's a combination of somebody willing to a large-scale refinery. We're talking billions and billions of dollars, and where's the best place for your investment and how long does it sit? And nobody's really tested those waters. And if you could do it, you could probably do it in North Dakota. But are you willing to put up that many? That refinery of MDU's then, you know, cost $400 million or so. And what if your project gets shut down like the Keystone Pipeline? We've all seen the pipe sitting around in various places. So there's a huge risk there. Yeah, some of it's politics and some of it's, is the demand going to be there for my product when it comes out that back end of that refinery?
That's a tough business, that refinery deal.
That is a tough business.
It is. I mean, there's you know, those things don't exactly pencil out all the time. So, no. You know, and by the way, correct me if I'm wrong, Ron, a lot of them in the United States, the gasoline refineries are foreign owned. So that was another argument in favor of lifting the crude oil export ban because their oil, foreign-owned oil, goes in front of our oil, even at the refineries here that are able to take sweet crude.
Well, and those refiners are mostly the heavy sour crude oil refineries that had been purchased by foreign interests. But it's a tough business. And, you think EPA regulations and others are tough on a well site, just go to a refinery or a coal plant. Just ask those guys.
Appreciate the call. Ron, I'm curious from your standpoint. There's 58 regs now. When you see that number starting to go back the other way, you know, is that tied to a particular oil price? And the same thing on when we'll start seeing some of those nearly 1,000 wells be fracked, going back to Ryan's point.
Sure. I think we were at 186 rigs a year ago, 12 months ago roughly. Yeah, we're at 58 today. We're going to lose some more in the next few weeks. I don't see the market being great in any indications in the first quarter or the second quarter. So everybody's going to buckle down the hatches. We really have to watch the number of completions. And from Ryan's standpoint and the tax standpoint, that generates those sales tax revenues. The rigs have gotten more efficient. We're better at what we're doing. But the recovery is going to come when the price increases. And the export ban isn't going to substantially help us at this point. We need $25 in order to be back in the business of really strong economics, which drives the investment here. So we got to buckle down and survive this thing just like any other time. And this is going to happen over the long life ahead in recognition of these Bakken wells. 95% of our North Dakota oil is produced from Bakken wells today. So we got to learn to get through these ups and downs in the cycles just like North Dakota agriculture has for generations.
So the answer to when the rig count is going to inch back up and the wells will be completed is when the price of oil comes back up, and who knows, right? We just don't know. I mean, you think it's going to, you know, it's going to start moving up in 2016 by most indications, but when, by how much, still a crapshoot, right?
Well, certainly let's hope that if we're sitting here in July, we've got a better looking, more optimistic, and a year from now, things are much more optimistic.
Short break when we come back. Ron has done some napkin math for us on how much it will save you if you're headed to Frisco in a Suburban. Because of the current price of gas. So there is some gain to this thing. More coming up. Don't go away.
Serving the Northern Plains, this is What's on Your Mind. Back to more of your calls straight ahead.
Watford City. We're not the same. We're better. We're a growing community, a changing business climate, and the great minds behind the vision for our future. We're engineers and doctors, entrepreneurs and artists, ranchers, roughnecks, bankers, pastors, and every dream in between. We're students from all 50 states and over 20 different countries, the teachers committed to their education, and the parents who love them. We're the leaders of 4-H clubs, a daughter's dance instructor, a son's hockey coach, and the fans in the stands cheering them on. We're Watford City, and we are neighbors, newcomers, fifth-generation stewards of the land, and many more yet to arrive. We're big plans made and challenges met. Big dreams, big risks, and big success stories. We're Watford City, and we're busy building our home. And we're not the same. We're better. Come see for yourself or find out more at voicesofwatford.com.
Welcome to Soybean Minute. Now, here's Diana Wedelsbacher.
From financial managers of family farms to principal operators, women and men play an important role in the success of American agriculture. That is why the North Dakota Soybean Council is looking for soybean farmers from diverse backgrounds to get involved with the council board of directors. Our soybean industry competes in a global and domestic marketplace that is itself growing more diverse. In this challenging business environment, the ability to draw upon a wide range of viewpoints, backgrounds, skills, and experiences is critical to our continued success. If you are interested in shaping the future of our industry and working to ensure it continues to thrive, I encourage you to grow your impact as a soybean producer and consider running for a leadership position on the Soybean Council Board this winter. For information about the counties that will be conducting elections in early 2016, the election process, and expectations of service, log on to ndsoybean.org.
This message is brought to you by the North Dakota Soybean Council and the Soybean Checkoff.
Owe $10,000 or more to the IRS?
Get on board with the Tax Admiral! Don't take on the IRS alone! I'll cut penalties and reduce your overall tax bill sometimes! I can even get it zeroed out completely!
We're an A-rated company helping people clean up their mess with the IRS.
If you owe $10,000 or more, then call the Tax Admiral!
Call 800-287-7180. Again, that's 800-287-7180. 800-287-7180.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich, working harder than ever, but getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our opportunities, you can start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss, work from home, and live a happier life. At Be The Boss Network, you'll find hundreds of work-from-home opportunities that you can literally start today and be earning money as soon as next week. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss. Get out of the rat race. Work from home. Go to freedom106.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 106.com. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You be the boss. Go to freedom106.com.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com. And an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
President Obama stepping to the microphone of the White House, presenting a solution to a problem that doesn't exist, kind of popular in his world these days, in the gun control area of executive action. Didn't get his way in Congress, so he's doing it with a pen. We'll have more details on that tomorrow on the program, as it is just breaking now. But as I can glean from this, not much new there at all. So Ron Ness has done a little napkin math here. It's pretty good. For all of you folks loading up a Suburban and heading down to Frisco, Texas, just how much you'll save because of the price of gas right now. We forget this. I mean, we get caught up in the rig count and the what's coming in, Ryan, to the tax coffers and everything else. But the budget to budget, you know, family, you know, to family impact is pretty significant when the price of gas comes down, and that doesn't happen without this American energy renaissance of the Bakken, right?
The study out earlier this week showed that the average American, $550 last year in savings on gasoline. And we all know it when we go to the pump and fill up, you can fill up your car now for $20, $25. And Fargo gas prices are almost ridiculous. 43 cents of that gallon of gas, of course, is state and federal taxes. So in Fargo, you're looking at a little over a buck now to get that barrel out of the ground, transport it, refine it, get it to that retail gasoline station and sell it. So it's pretty amazing. But so here's my really important comment for the group this morning.
Okay.
Obviously a big bison crowd. So my overnight math, about 2,000 miles to Frisco and back. Typical suburban full of five people gets 15 miles to the gallon. It's going to take you about 133 gallons of gas to get there and back. If you ever, I think you're going to save about $1.30 a gallon from where we were just a year and a half ago. That's $173 in the pockets of those people in that suburban.
How many people would be in a suburban?
Five.
Okay. So rough math?
Rough math, it's about $35 a person savings. So
yeah.
Here's the real problem, though.
Case of beer is doing some quick math.
I went to
beer quickly. You could be you could take everybody out for dinner.
If I'm in Frisco, $5 a beer. That's seven beers per guy.
And by the way, it's cheap in Frisco.
They're 56,000 beers short in Frisco. We got to get word out down there. These Bison fans are going to run out of beer.
They have any idea because just from a year ago, what these people have extra jingling around in their pocket there.
Seven extra beers a guy.
Yeah. Think of the impacts of that just in everything we do.
Well, put that in the terms of a transportation company and with trucks on the road every day, or if you're out there and you're going to fill up your tanks if you're on the farm right now. So and there's absolutely nobody that can deny that that's a function of what we have done here in North Dakota, developing the technology to extract oil from a shale resource like the Bakken and then the Eagle Ford, and if you look across this country. And we are in an energy war with OPEC in the world right now, and we got to just, persevere them.
I don't know how many gallons of gas we buy in North Dakota, Ryan, or the North Dakota residents buy, but you could probably extrapolate this out to say, there's some plus side to all the negatives we talked about earlier.
Absolutely. And, usually in a state, when you look at nationwide, when we work with Moody's Analytics to look at our forecast in this price environment for gasoline and diesel price environment, when they work with most other states that aren't oil producing states, it's actually an upside to their forecast. Other states are looking at, increasing their forecast because of disposable income, more sales tax, more dollars to go out and spend, at the local stores. And, we're kind of the anomaly there because when we have lower oil prices, we have kind of the flip side. Now there's more disposable income, but of course you have the employment and different issues, but what's very, very interesting is when you work with these national firms, they'll say that, these lower gasoline price environments and lower oil price environments, they go to other states and actually increase their revenue forecast because of disposable income.
Emailer says, bring back the big gas-guzzling cars, real cars like the 50s and 60s. That'd help get rid of the extra oil. A little more demand.
Well, it's kind of interesting on the oil industry side, Scott. And if you own gasoline stations, of course, in Fargo, where you essentially always you're giving away your gas to get people inside to buy your hot dogs and your Cokes and your whatever. Now those people have more money because they're not spending it on the gas side, and they come inside where the real profit centers are for these C-stores and those things. So, industry's got many different sides to it, and, when one thing is up, the other thing is down, and vice versa.
Only a minute left here, but one last text. Wouldn't the American people be the market? Building a North Dakota refinery would be a central hub. We all know how much it would cost to do anything in the Bakken. The money is available. Thanks. So he's saying, hey, we're centrally located. The American people on all sides of us would be the market. So build it here and then ship it elsewhere. Good idea?
Well, we are centrally located, northern centrally located, but we're not located close to huge population centers, which drives the demand. So, just simple math is you can refine a Bakken barrel here and export the 5, 6, 7, 8, or 9 different commodities off of it, diesel fuel, gasoline, jet fuel, kerosene, to those markets. Or you can ship the one commodity, the barrel, to those larger refining centers where there's a huge population demand. So it's all about economics, and when the time is right and the math works and the regulations allow it, people will build the refining centers here or closer to the proximity of the resource versus closer to the proximity of the people, which is what has been going on.
Yeah, which just really would make the best economic sense.
Doesn't mean we're not going to have refining centers here, though. It's still an opportunity. It's a niche market.
Interesting. Well, thank you both. Very informative discussion today. Appreciate it very much. Ryan Rauschenberger, State Tax Commissioner in North Dakota. Thanks, Ryan. Good to see you.
Thanks.
Ryan Mess, the North Dakota Petroleum Council. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Scotty. Go Bison.
Yes. We're out of here tomorrow. We're broadcasting Thursday and Friday. Don't forget that. God bless you. Bye-bye. Business owners, listen up. Art Rosenberg is back from Sunbelt Business Brokers in North Dakota. Art, how you doing?
Good, Scott. Thanks for having me.
I'd like to talk to Mr. and Mrs. Business Owner out there that want to know that Sunbelt is the right firm to represent their company in a sales situation. Tell us how you're different.
Sunbelt in North Dakota operates primarily in the small to middle market. Most of our sales close at $5 million or less, but we have worked on deals up to $20 million. Our average sales size runs at about $650,000.
In addition to the size and the sales price, an important factor is finding qualified buyers. How do you do that?
Sunbelt of North Dakota has worked over the years creating a buyer's network so we can match prospective buyers with the right business. We also screen those buyers to make sure that the financial capacity and their business acumen line up with the seller.
Simple as a phone call, folks. Art Rosenberg and his team at 701-347-2727 or online at nd.sunbeltnetwork.com. nd.sunbeltnetwork.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number, 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
911, what is your emergency?
There's somebody in my house. Hurry, please.
A home break-in happens every 22 seconds. Homes without a security system are up to 3 times more vulnerable to a burglary. That's why they're SimpliSafe. In an emergency, our advanced wireless technology alerts police up to 10 times faster, and your connection to emergency services can't be cut because SimpliSafe doesn't rely on landlines. SimpliSafe costs less than half what traditional companies charge, just $14.99 a month, and there's no commitment to an annual contract. Protect your family with the highest caliber security. Go now to SimpliSafeDefense.com and get 10% off with free shipping and a 3-year warranty. Hurry, and you'll also receive a keychain remote worth $25. Try SimpliSafe for a full 60 days. You'll feel confident that your family is safe or your money back. Go to SimpliSafeDefense.com right now. SimpliSafeDefense.com.